I want to read a scripture to you today. This is found in Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. And this is what God's word says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Guys, have you ever heard, seen bumper stickers or heard people say some things? And at first, you know, there's some truth in that. And you say, like, oh, that's pretty good. I think I'm going to adopt that as my mantra, kind of. But upon further inspection, maybe it's not so true. For example, how many of you have heard hindsight is 20/20? Anybody? Okay. And at first, that sounds great, doesn't it? Hindsight, you know, we look back, I saw the mistakes I made, I'm going to learn from that. But upon further inspection, 20/20 is perfect vision, right? When look at the things in our past. Have we really learned from our past? I mean, look at our country. Look at the things that are going on. It's like we continue to do the same things. It's like we haven't learned anything at all. So maybe hindsight really isn't 20/20. I mean, we look back and we say, oh, I wish things were like that. I would change these things, but do we ever really change those things? No. So I think maybe that's not true all the time. You could disagree with me. You can call 1-800-I-DON'T-CARE, and it'll go right there. How about this one? How many of you ever heard this? The customer is always right. Anybody? How many of you ever worked in a position where you've had to deal with customers? Oftentimes, they're wrong, and they're mean about it. So at first, it sounds like, yes, the customer's always right. We're going to do whatever it takes to make you happy until we realize that the customer we're working with is a real idiot and doesn't know anything about what's going on. So maybe that's not true all the time, even though we want it to be. What about this one? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Anybody heard that? At first, it's like, okay, you know what? It didn't kill me. What it did, it made me stronger. Really, I know some people that are going through some incredible grief right now. It's not killing them. Maybe it is killing them a little on the inside, but it's certainly, they don't feel strong. How about this one? You can do anything you set your mind to. Yeah, have you heard that? How many of you watched any of the Olympics? You know who Simone Biles is? Okay, try to do one of her backflips. Set your mind to it and do it. And see if you break your neck, you know? I don't think you can do anything that you set your mind. There's a lot of things that you could set your mind to it, but you're not going to be able to do it. So at first, it sounds great, right? But upon further inspection, maybe it's not completely true. What about this one? Better late than never. In about 10 minutes, Godfrey's going to come walking in the door. And I pick on Godfrey about that. But how about this? Better late than never. Yeah, I guess so. At least you showed up, unless it's to your son's wedding. You know, then it would be better to be on time, right? So better late than never. At least you showed up. Hey, that's a good start. And Siri couldn't find it in my Apple Music library. Better late than never. But no, that's not really necessarily true, right? Usually these things are well-meaning. And if they were 100% false, we would never say them at all. So there is a little bit of truth in each one of those that we've heard. It's good advice, you know, try harder, be all you can be, that kind of thing. But as we look under better scrutiny, we find out it's not really accurate. And so what I want to talk about in these verses today is follow your heart. How many of you ever heard that? Follow your heart. Anybody? Follow your heart. Because, and I think a definition, what they mean when they say follow your heart, it means that our heart knows what makes us happy. And so if you follow your heart, you can be happy at least for a little bit. Be true to your feelings. Don't let fear, overthinking, anybody or anything hold you back from what you really feel in your heart. And when you first look at that, follow your heart, that could be some good advice. In fact, if you've heard that and you agree with that, I'm going to give you some reasons why you're probably true. Number one, our desires and our feelings are real and they're important. God made us as feeling, thinking, sensing beings. We're emotional. We feel things deeply. We can feel hurt. We can feel anger. We can feel resentment. These feelings are real. And so our heart makes sense. Following our heart, our desires and feelings are real and important. If someone really angers you or someone betrays you, then your heart is broken and you feel that. And so following your heart, I'm not going to get put in that position again. And so it kind of makes sense. Another way that following your heart makes sense is oftentimes we have natural good instincts. We have what we call a sense or we have an intuition. I don't know if I should do that. You know, you find yourself in a situation, someone's trying to get you to do something, and you're like, I just don't feel right about that. We're following our heart because we know that if we give into that, we're going to end up in trouble or something. And so sometimes we have these natural instincts. Another one would be maybe we've had some bad experiences and disappointments in our life because we didn't follow our heart. You know, we sat around and said, should I take that job? Should I do this? And I don't know. I just don't know. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. And so we stay where our cheese is. And then we see that there's fresh cheese in the other pasture. And we just let it go. We didn't follow our heart that kind of told us to step out. And I think another one, sometimes when we say that, follow your heart, it kind of seems spiritual. You know, that was the Holy Spirit didn't give me a sense of peace about that. Or I just didn't feel God was leading me in that way. And so sometimes when you say follow your heart, it's a good thing. But I'm going to give you some reasons why following your heart isn't always the best thing. Number one, our hearts change. Our hearts change. You don't believe me? Take out your phone. Go to the photos. And you can find it by album or date or year. Go to year. Go back 10 years. Look at what you were wearing in your hairstyle. What was your heart telling you that day? Margie and I are going through boxes of pictures, and there are pictures. She's got glasses on that are this big, hair out to here. I'm not going to tell you what mine looks like. It was bad. I have feathered back. I'm going to tell you anyway. It was feathered back and Aquanets, you know. What was I thinking? What was my heart telling me that day? Our hearts change. Another thing, sometimes our intuitions are completely wrong. They lead us to unhealthy places and to unhealthy people. Man, I want to be with the in crowd. So what happens is you start hanging out with the in crowd. Before you know it, you slip farther and farther away from the truth and the light, and you find yourself in some dark places. Sometimes following your heart most of the time, leads to selfishness and not sacrifice. If, you know, the people that we really love in our society, when we break it down, are the people that show valor, the people that sacrifice. Even the Bible says, greater love has no man than he that lays down his life for another. Sacrifice. We look at that and say, that's the hero. Not the one that says, I ain't doing that because I might get hurt. Sometimes when we follow our heart, it's because we're selfish and just we want it to be about us. And another thing, the heart can be an unreliable leader. You know, because it changes. It's not reliable. In fact, there's a scripture in Luke. It says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, if you have a good heart, you're going to have good things. If you have a bad heart, you're going to have these evil things. And so what Jesus is telling us here is that you can't always follow your heart. If your heart is given to God, then it's a good thing. If your heart is not given to God, then it's all about you. In fact, have you thought about this? Everybody that's in prison now followed their heart. Everybody that's in prison followed their heart. They were going to do what they thought they should do. Here's what the Bible says a heart without God is. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looks at his creation and saw that they were only concerned about themselves, about evil, all about what they could do. Nothing at all about God our Creator. Mark chapter 7. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And you may look at that list and say, well, that's not me, but think about it. Have you ever taken a pen, something from work? It's theft. Jesus says, you know, you look at somebody with lust in your heart, then you've committed adultery. Do you ever want what somebody else has that you don't have? Gosh, I wish I had that new car. Ah, I wish I had a new home. I wish I had these things. Those are evil things that defile a person, that come out of our heart from within us. Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? He didn't pull no punches there. The heart is evil. It's deceitful. It's going to lie. And then John 3, 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. In other words, Jesus, the light, came into the world, but people didn't want the light because it illuminated what they were trying to hide, the darkness. Because why? Their works were evil. And I could, there are many more, what the Bible says, a heart without God, what it could do to us. But let's see what a heart for God does for us. What the Bible says about our hearts with God. Jeremiah, again, chapter 31. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God tells us when we go to Him and we give our life to Him, He is going to write His law, His statutes on our heart. And what that does for us as Christ followers now, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And the Holy Spirit gives us and helps us to discern the truth from the lies. Ezekiel chapter 36, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. All of the things in your thoughts, in your minds, and in your heart, He will cleanse us from. Romans, Paul writes this, but thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. Either way, you're going to be a slave. You're either going to be a slave to the things that are bad, or you're going to be a slave to Christ. The bad or the good, which way are you going to go? In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 10, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean and from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, let's draw near with a true heart. So what is a true heart? What does that look like? So what's a better view of our heart? And that's when I bring us back to Proverbs, the verse that we started off with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So let's break that down for just a minute. How do we develop this heart that the writer in Proverbs is telling us? The first thing, develop your prayer life. We had 13 people at prayer last Tuesday. I hope we have even more this week. And 13 people sitting around the room. We're not talking about prayer. All we're doing is praying. I mean, we start right at 7, and right at 8, we're done. And we start at 7, and we are praying. And you talk about a sweet hour of prayer. We don't sit around, well, you know what, look, please pray for so-and-so because, you know what, they're just, you know, because that could turn into gossip. It ain't like that at all. You just start praying for that person. And everybody around that table joins in and agrees with you and prays with that and for that person. So we had 13 there, and my heart was like, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. It's going to be even more this week because all of y'all are going to be there, and I can't wait for y'all to be there. Develop your prayer life. This is what the scripture says there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you trust in the Lord? You got to spend time in His presence. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in His presence. Do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. How are you going to know He's making straight your paths? You've got to be in communication with God. God, I want to hear from you. Well, I just don't hear from God. I tried praying. I don't hear from Him. Have you sat there, closed your mouth, and let God speak? You may not hear a loud, audible voice, but you're going to sense something. You're going to feel God moving because God loves it when we spend time with Him. Develop your prayer life. The second thing in those verses, in verse 7, is seek wisdom, not confirmation. A lot of times, people will we just want confirmation. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And then when you tell them what you really think, they go away mad because they haven't thought the whole thing through. What they want you to do is just say, hey, what a great idea. How can I help? What can I do? And a lot of times, it's like, man, I like this about it. I like this about it. I like this about it. But you're going to have to change this, this, and this. Have you thought about this? Then I'm just not going to do it. You wanted confirmation. And you don't want wisdom. And we should be crying out to God, God, grant me wisdom. That's what it says in James. Ask for wisdom and He will give it to you. How are you going to ask for wisdom? You develop your prayer life. You see how it all goes back to that? Seek wisdom, not confirmation. A third thing that's found, again, in verse 7. I love, like, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Look at this. Be aware of God. Be aware of God. It says, fear the Lord. That doesn't mean, I'm scared of you, Lord. I'm afraid to do anything because you may strike me dead. You know, He may. He has every right. But He doesn't. Why? Because God is love. He loves us. He would rather us come back willingly, give our lives to Him and say, hey, I want to follow You. Wherever You send me, whatever You call me to do, I'm here. I'm an empty vessel. Fill me with Your Spirit. Let me be who You created me to be. Instead of saying like, there's no fear. And we live in a society, guys, here in America, where there is no fear of God. You turn on the news, you turn on the television, you turn on any show, you turn on the radio, listen to music, Lord's name in vain. It's like God doesn't even exist, and you're stupid if you believe in a God. That's the society that we live in, and we're called to be a light to this world. And so we fear God, and if we fear God, then we're going to do what He tells us to do. And He tells us to go into this world, to preach the good news of the gospel, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, sometimes we fear man more than we fear God. Be aware of God. Fear the Lord. And then the last thing it says in there, turn away from evil and sin. It says, turn away from evil. Turn away from evil and sin. We have a fancy name for it. Repent. Repent. Repent simply means to turn around. You're going this way. Bah, 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 bah. Repent. Okay, I don't need to go that way. I need to come back this way. Repent. Be aware of God. Seek wisdom, not confirmation. Develop your prayer life. And so what do we get when all of this happens? What do we get when all of that happens? Well, it's verse 8. It will be healing to our flesh and refreshment to your bones. You ever been so knotted up about a situation or something in your life and you're just focused on that, and no matter what, you can't sleep at night, you can hardly eat, you're popping pills, you're drinking, you're doing whatever you can to try to take the edge off because you can't get rid of this knot. Trust in the Lord. Let God's love come over you. And there is this peace that passes understanding that the world doesn't get, that the world doesn't understand, that we can in the midst of whatever storm. If during a death, grief, I know grief hits us all hard and we go through different stages of grief. But when a loved one passes, we hold on to the truth that they have gone on to a better place. Because that's what the scripture teaches us. And that's what we believe. Because we have hope in Christ that one day when our bodies leave this earthly frame, we will be in his presence. And sure, while we're here and the loss of the loved one stings, we still have a hope that the world doesn't understand because we know that this is not the end. Death does not have the final victory. We have a peace. Because we will be reunited again in the presence of God himself. And we look forward to that day. Does it make it any easier? No, but we have a hope. We can have a peace that the world can't understand. Because our hope is not in us, in our doctors, in our family, in the medicine, in any of that kind of stuff. Our hope is in the Lord. And because of that, we have refreshment to our bones, healing to our flesh. So where are you at with your heart? So when I say, hey, follow your heart, what does that mean to you? I hope what it means is you will follow your heart into God's word, into God's presence, and that the peace of God will just surround you. As he fills you with his spirit, you feel the Holy Spirit surround you with his arms, drawing you close, giving you strength, giving you peace. And he will be the true barometer in our heart. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity just to dive into your word and let you speak to us this morning. Father, so many times in our life we are caught up in different situations and things, and we just don't know where to turn or what to do. And so, Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to pray and to sing songs of worship and praise and to fellowship with one another as we continue to urge one another on. Father, I thank you for today, and we pray all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.